Welcome to another podcast of ¿Qué Dices?, a podcast where we create a space for young Latinos to express their points of view about a certain topic. I'm your host, Jesus Alvarado.
And I'm your co-host, Marcela Valdivia. Today, we have a USC student in the MS Journalism program who will talk about more about the lack of diversity within the field of museum curating. Thank you, Jessica Flores, for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
¿Qué Dices?, what can you tell us about the lack of women and people of color within art curating job?
For my capstone, I'm working on this topic specifically, and what I'm focusing on are the diversity programs that have come out of a report that has said that people of color have not been represented in curating jobs specifically. In 2015, a report came out of the Mellon Foundation saying that 84% of curators, conservators, educators, and leadership are whites. Latinos only represent 4%. And Black people only represent 4% as well. So there's been obviously a lack of people of color in those specific jobs. And because of this report, there was a program that came out of it called the Mellon Undergraduate Curatorial Fellowship.
Yeah.
And these fellowships are around different major museums in the U.S. And one of them is LACMA, Los Angeles County Museum of Art. And this program was created to bring in more students of color, students from underrepresented communities, to learn more about the curatorial field. Mm-hmm. And they have a mentor. But as I've been doing research and as I've been interviewing students who have been in these programs, obviously there are a lot of challenges that they face while being in these programs. You know, they feel like they're in places that are not meant for them. The museums, surprisingly, the museums have a lot of women in leadership, but many of the women are white women. Yeah. Or there's a gap in with age.
These people who are curators, they're the ones who are responsible for the art that we see on displays in these museums. Having said that there is a lack of diversity within the curating jobs of museums, and the majority of them being essentially just white, how does that affect the art that we see as a public?
Well, it depends. So each museum is different. LACMA is an encyclopedic museum. Mm-hmm. So what that means is that they have art that they work with,
yeah,
that they own, essentially, mm-hmm, kind of. So it's difficult and it's hard when there isn't many people represented in curating jobs, because they're the ones who get to research and get to decide what art is put up. And that affects people who go to museums, because then you don't see yourself represented. Mm-hmm. And then another interesting thing that someone who is trying to become a curator told me, she's Afro-Latina. She told me that many times curators don't think about the language that they use, because in museums, curators are responsible for writing like the texts that are on the walls and,
oh, yeah,
you know, describing or explaining the art. Most times that language is in like some really weird language that many people don't understand.
Like,
you know,
very
what I mean?
Academic, elitist.
Right. Exactly.
But honestly, on that note, do the majority, or I don't know if you know this or is if there even is information about this, but is there stats talking about people actually do read these little literature pieces stuck next to the art? And because of that, we know that the curator was white or something like that. I don't know.
People try and we try to understand it, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah. I know I read them very briefly, yeah, just because I'm like, wow, obviously that's what you go to a museum for.
Right. I'm not sure if there's data on that, but that's interesting, because even, yeah, when I go to museums, I read them. But what, okay, I've noticed is that when it's an exhibit that's specifically about like Latinos, mm-hmm, or like people of color, or not like your European centric art, like I understand it better, because,
yeah,
I can relate to it more, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are in English, so that's already restricting. So what about people who only speak Spanish, or, mm-hmm, what about people who don't speak English, who don't read English? Like, that's already restricting. They can't even read what's,
right,
being presented to them in museums.
Mm-hmm. What is the process of becoming a curator?
So to become a curator, what I've learned is that you have to have a PhD. And that's already difficult, because
how many years is it?
It's about like 4 years, I think, six. I guess it depends on the program and where you go. But most curators have a PhD. They obviously, mm-hmm, they study art history. And then from there, they go get their master's in art history, and then eventually get their PhD in art history. Too, mm-hmm, many people, like some people have different majors and stuff. Like, for instance, here at USC, they have a master's program that's a curatorial studies,
oh, wow,
program. So I've been seeing that a lot more too. Instead of just studying art history, they're studying, mm-hmm, like curatorial studies. And a lot of the students that I've talked to, obviously they want to go, and they're they've been encouraging them to get, because a lot of these, you know, diversity programs and this fellowship specifically encourages them to go get their PhD, you know, to become a curator. And they want to, but then it also brings up the conversation of how many Latinos are in PhD programs, how many people of color in general. Like, it's expensive. It's not, you know, people can't just afford to get a PhD, you know, so it's already difficult.
I don't know your thoughts on this, but would that be more convenient for these people of color who do want to get a curating job at museums to get that master's in curatorial studies instead of going way far to get a PhD that costs thousands of dollars and you spend like 5 to 6 years in school?
Right. So LACMA has another program, and they collaborated with ASU, the Arizona State University, to create a program, a master's program, so that their employees, LACMA employees, can be on the road to getting their master's. So it's like an online program.
I was just wondering, have you talked to any of those white curators and asked them about how they feel or what they think about like not having people of color within the field?
I did talk to the woman who's in charge of the program, and she is a white woman. She did talk about the program and how important it was and how she has them in mind when, like, creating this, you know, the curriculum that they have to do. And also, you know, with finances, like, it could be difficult for students who have to travel to LACMA from, like, from East L.A. or from, like, South L.A. or wherever they live. So
I find it very interesting when we look at the stats in regards to this whole topic, and it says that about 60 to 70 something percent of women are in art school, and these are the people that want to create art to be put on display in museums. And, you know, like 30 or fewer percent are men who go to art school. But then statistically speaking, in museums, more men have their art displayed than women.
The 70% men?
Yeah,
and 30% women. Yeah,
and then even women, their women artists, their work is not as valuable. Like when they're selling their work, they sell for much less than men's work, which is insane.
Like, why? I want to know why.
Does this all go back to like equal pay day? Right. That was yesterday, and the gender gap.
I think so.
That is insane.
One of the students, who is the curator assistant, she actually did her fellowship not at LACMA. She did it at the Museum of Fine Arts in Houston.
Oh, wow.
And in Houston, she actually had a curator who was Latina, and her experience was way different because she's Afro-Latina too. So she actually felt like she had someone on her side. There was an instance where she said she was walking, she's been interning or, you know, working at the museum for a while now. And one day she was walking out and the security guard stopped her and was like, "Hey, we need to check your bag." And she was like, "What? I've been working here for so long. You're just now, you know, telling me this." And I think he was new, but she said she went to her curator to tell her about it, and her curator fought for her and speak up for her. So it's just instances like that, you know, where and she just had a different experience. She was like, "I could relate to my curator." Mm-hmm. Like, she actually helped me get the job now where I am. So,
and I think that's in all the fields. Whenever you see someone in a room that looks like you, you just feel more comfortable and more able to like express yourself. Right.
Right.
Right. It's kind of like when you go to school, like for us college students, when we go to school, obviously we're not the majority, us, the people of color. Like,
so when you see people that look like you, you're like, hey, best friend.
Exactly.
Like,
it's like
a little group.
Yeah. Right. It's a small bond. It's a community, you know, especially when you hear them talking the same language that you grew up talking to, that just goes beyond that community, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I think it's just so important because you do see like different art when you have people from different backgrounds, you know?
Right.
Definitely. Yeah.
Exactly. And a lot of times in these art history programs, from what these students have told me, they learn like European art and like just art that they can't relate to, you know what I mean? So they have to go out of their way to learn about other artists and, you know, do their own research. So
my question to you, and this is aside from all of your research that you've done, how the heck did you find out about this topic, like curatorial jobs and the lack of diversity? That is very narrow.
I think you need to tell us about your interest in arts and culture too.
So when looking for a topic for Capstone, I just started doing like research on just like art demographics and just art facts. And then I saw that the National Museum of Women, I believe, they had a whole site of like all these statistics about art and like the disparities in art with women and gender and race and all of that. And then so I used to intern at LACMA, and I was a social media intern there. And I was lucky because my mentor and my boss, she's Latina, so I felt like I was cool. Like, you know, I related to her. Like, we had a great bond. But and that's where I learned about the Mellon Fellowship. And I actually met these students way before any of this.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, oh, interesting. Like, people want to become curators. Like, I never really thought about it either. Like, I used to just go to museums and like look at the art, you know?
Right.
You didn't know about the process.
No, I didn't. I was just like, okay. And then I was like, huh, I wonder what about students who want to become curators? Like, how difficult is that? And so I found the Mellon Foundation report, and then I saw that it was really low in curators. I mean, it's really low in like many other positions too, but I was just curious in curators because this whole idea of being a curator is interesting to me. And also many people have talked about it too, who I've interviewed, because anyone can consider themselves a curator.
Really?
Like, how? I feel how, so a lot of them talked about, which I didn't think about, but I agree. You can be a curator because we have our Instagram accounts. So curate our Instagram, right? Like there's people who have a Tumblr or like their blog. So you're kind of curating something, like you're putting together images you like, you know, things you like.
Yeah.
But then what about people who are actually curating like museums? You know, like that's way different.
And getting like, bank because of that.
Right. And like it goes way into like, it's different for them because they have to do research. They have to call galleries. They have to get art from like the East Coast all the way here. So it's just a different idea. And it kind of goes into like, what does the curator even mean? Or what does it mean now in 2019, you know?
Yeah. With all the research you have done, like what's the biggest finding or takeaway from the project you have so far?
The biggest takeaway that keeps coming up, which I think anyone, any Latino or any person of color or any student from a low-income community can relate to is the financial aspect. A lot of them talked about how, yeah, this is a great program, you know, you get to be exposed to these curators and all these resources, but it's difficult when you're come from a low-income community because you have to travel far to go there, or you know, a lot of the internships are unpaid, and you know, we can't afford to do stuff like that. But I think it's just like the economic disparity too.
Yeah.
And like how, yeah, there are all these like fields that we want to get into, journalism, museums, music, but it's hard when you come from a low income community because it's just another barrier, you know?
Yeah. It's the overall theme of diversifying every work field.
Exactly.
For that representation to be included anywhere.
Right. And then it goes into like, what does diversity even mean? Mm-hmm. Like, does it just mean race? Like diversifying your space and just having like one Latino, one Black person, one Asian person, one white person. Like they kept saying like, no, it's not just race. It's about
combination
like,
of everything.
Right.
Identity,
it's like
gender, economics,
right. Disability, like all of it, you know? And so,
and also within diversity, it's like not only inviting these people of color, these different genders or people with disabilities, but also like being actively engaging with them. Because it's like, I remember one time one of my professors said this. He was like, you know, it's one thing to be invited to the party. It's another thing to be asked to dance.
Yeah.
And so that has always stuck with me.
Right.
And it is our job to bring the next generation of people of color. So,
yeah.
And inviting them to dance.
Exactly. So let's dance, guys.
Before we leave, thank you, Jessica, for taking the time to share what you know about this topic to our audience.
Thank you for having me.
And make sure to follow us on Instagram at Que Dices Podcast for behind-the-scenes footage and pictures with our guests. I'm Marcela Valdivia.
And I'm Jesus Alvarado. We hope you enjoyed this episode.